y'all have a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. This is a verse that all of you probably know. But we're going to look at it. Have any of y'all ever had one of those moments where you're looking for something that you've lost? And you look everywhere, and you come to find out that it's sitting right there, and you've looked, you can't see the obvious. Has that ever happened to anybody? I have this little leather notebook that's like this big that I use all the time. I carry it with me really everywhere I go. I have it with me all the time. I just jot down notes in it and do all that kind of stuff. And a couple weeks ago, I was in my office, and I was searching everywhere. And I came downstairs looking for it. I came upstairs looking for it. I looked everywhere. I looked at home. And I was looking, looking, and then I got back to my office. It was sitting like that on my desk. And I had searched for days, and I was like, am I that old that I already can't see that? And I was like, did a ghost move that? What happened that I did not see that? And that concerned me. Well, yesterday it got really bad. And I'm really concerned now. As y'all know, I lost all my sweaters, right? I told y'all that, right? When I moved into the parsonage, we lost every single one of my sweaters. They were tucked away for the summer in one bin. I didn't have a single sweater. That's why up until this Christmas, y'all didn't see me ever wear a sweater. Because I lost them all. And my mom had provided me with quite a few nice sweaters, and so I was bummed that I lost all my sweaters. And I literally could not find them anywhere. They're not in the house over there behind Younger's. They're not in the parsonage. Me and Valetti had looked everywhere. We even took out two whole rooms in the basement of the church where we were storing some things, and they are not there. Could not find them. Yesterday, and this went on for a long time. Many of y'all know I've been talking about this for months. Yesterday, we're in the bedroom. JJ's in there. And he walks over to the dresser where I keep my clothes, and pulls out the top drawer, and all of my sweaters are jam-packed in the top drawer. The bottom drawer is where I keep basketball shorts. The middle drawer is where I keep button-up shirts. The top drawer I totally forgot was there. And JJ opened it up, and there were tons of sweaters in there, and I thought, Val, I'm worried about myself. Val said, I told everybody for Christmas to get you sweaters, and now you've got so many sweaters. I'm getting worried. I really am. So, I need to, as I said last week, continue to take a look at myself and see where I'm at. See how I am. See what needs to be changed in Josh in order for me to be more like Jesus. Because when I say that I'm a Christian, it means I'm putting on me a label of Jesus Christ. And I must be like Him. And so it is for you. And last Sunday night I talked about how this is New Year's. And we need to examine ourselves. We need to see what we need to do to make ourselves better. There is one way, there's a couple ways, but there's one way that is so abundantly clear to become more like Christ. And that is to know Him. And the best way for you to know Him is to know His Word. Jesus is called the Word. Okay? I asked you to turn to Hebrews, but if you would, turn with me right now to John chapter 1. We're going to be back at Hebrews. I just want you to read John chapter 1 with me. See, you and I both need to look at ourselves on a regular basis and then take steps to become more like Jesus. That's what it means to follow him. Tonight you're going to learn about the best way to do that. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. Okay? The Word. This is called the Word. The Bible is the Word. It's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." I want you to pay attention to that phrase there at the very end of this, what is called the prologue of John. He has made him known. Does anybody else in here have a different version than this ESV that I'm reading that says he has made him known? Does anybody else say something different? What's your say? Yeah, is that a New American Standard? Okay. He has explained him. That's good. And that's the point that I want to get. My ESV says he has made him. The New American Standard says he has explained him. Okay? Listen to me. Jesus is called the Word. He's the Word. He's the Word in human flesh. He is God revealed to us in human flesh. So that if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know what God is like, you want to know what Jesus is like, and what Jesus is like in his holiness and what Jesus is like in his being is what God is. If you want to know what God is like, then you can look at Jesus fully in the flesh and say, "Here is God." You remember in 1 John at the very beginning when I'm preaching through, he says, "He who was from the beginning that you have seen and you have touched and you have heard." Remember that at the very beginning of 1 John? This is what he's talking about. Jesus is God. He is God. This man that walked around and slept and got thirsty and lived and loved and served and did all of that was God. And so in the same way you read a book because you want to learn something, or in the same way you read instructions because you want to figure out how to do something, or the same thing, same reason that you read anything to gain the knowledge from reading, Jesus is that living. And Jesus has explained God to us so that if you ever saw Jesus and spent time with him, then you know what God is like. That's why it's so amazing that Jesus was humble and serving. Because God is the greatest thing ever, and he is humble and serving and lowly, and didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Okay? So Jesus is the Word. He's explained, because that's what the Word does, is it explains. But we no longer, now turn back to Hebrews, but we no longer have Jesus in the flesh to be the explanation of God. We no longer have Jesus as the human here to make him known. Remember that verse 18 says he has made him known. He has explained him. So, if we're going to embody the true Christ, if we're going to embody true religion, the true God, how can we do it? And there's only one way. And that is the Word. Jesus was the Word in the flesh. The Bible is the Word in revelation. Written revelation to us. Delivered to us. So that now God has said, okay, Jesus is no longer here. Here is what I'm like. Get me. Take me. Understand me. Come to know me. And here it is. In 66 books. From Genesis to Revelation. All put together. Divinely inspired. This right here is written by a bunch of different authors. but has God as the main author over all of it. And so, if we are to be the people of God, the people of God, the children of God, the followers of Christ, if we're to be that, which you claim that you are, if you are to be that, you must know Him. And this is how you get to know Him. By getting in the Bible. By getting in the Bible. It goes without saying that if you don't ever talk to somebody, you don't know them very well. The reason why a married couple that's been married for quite some time is so strong in their relationship and in their love is because for years they have spent time together, ridden in the car together, sat around the house together, eaten meals together, and they have gotten to know each other. And they know each other. In the same way, the reason why people grow apart, relationships grow apart, is because they have not spent time together and gotten to know each other. Jesus spent such quality time with His disciples so that they would get to know Him. And sure enough, we see the New Testament saying, after Christ had left, them saying, "We know Him. I was with Him." John writes, what I told you, he writes, I'll read it to you again. John writes, at the beginning of 1 John, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." I know Him, John says. I spent time with Him. Okay? So the disciples pointed back to how they know Him. Let's hear what Peter says. Peter says a similar thing. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." When Peter writes to these people, whatever he's writing them, right there he's writing about what it means to shepherd the flock. One of the things that he throws in that passage in chapter 5, verse 1, is that I'm a fellow elder, but I'm also a witness of Christ suffering. I was there. I saw it. I know what Jesus is like. I know Him. And yet we are very much so talking here at our church about being the real thing and being effective and reaching one person this year. And in really being to our community a picture of God, an example of Jesus. And I'm confident that when people get to see the real thing, they'll be impacted by it. We don't need a special formula. We don't need a special gift. They need to see Christ in us. And the way that can happen is through you making a commitment right now, this year, tonight, to read the Bible. Because there is absolutely a connection between your commitment to the Word and your commitment to Christ. And your commitment to the Word and your bearing fruit. There is. For some of you, you've never really read the Bible on a regular basis with any sort of commitment. And I'm begging you, really, I'm honestly begging you to do it right now. To say, this is the time for me to do it. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try. I'm going to schedule an hour tomorrow to read and see if I can get these 12 chapters done. And then I'm going to do the same thing on Tuesday. So here we are at Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to tell you why. Because the Word is powerful, okay? The Bible is powerful. And it can and it will change your life. Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 12. For the Word of God is living, the Word of God, okay? The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let's read that one more time. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What we're going to do over the next 30 days is we're going to ask God to take this mighty, mighty tool and go to work on us. Literally. Go to work on us. We sang, which is straight from 2 Corinthians 4, that what we proclaim is not ourselves. And I want to ask you, is that true for you? Be honest. Is that true for you? Your invitation to people to come to church because we're a good church and we've got a new pastor. And so, in a sense, are you proclaiming what we are? Emily sang this morning, "Give me Christ or else I die." Honestly speaking, do you ever think that? Or do you mean that? And so I'm not so sure if we are ready to say what we proclaim is not ourselves. I'm not so sure that we, First Baptist Church of Faraday, and what I mean is that me and you, individuals, are ready to say, Jesus is what you need, not us. I'm not so sure if we're there yet. Jesus is what you need, neighbor. Jesus is what you need, friend. Jesus is what you need. Not us. But I'm confident that if you start reading the Bible and this active, living, sharp sword starts to pierce you and discern the thoughts and intentions of you, then what'll come out is Jesus. If this tool starts to go to work on you, what will come out is Jesus. Jason Fowler gave me a nice new pocket knife a while ago. He gave it to me the wrong way. He didn't set it down and let me pick it up. He just handed it to me. And I never had a pocket knife that was good. I was used to them like being like a little toy. And I opened it up one time, and it sliced my finger right up. I didn't realize that knives were sharp. And anytime you get a really, really sharp cut, y'all ever had a paper cut? Anytime you get a really, really sharp cut, it hurts. It stings. You get some lemon juice or salt in there, and it just hurts. Something cuts you up. And God says that His Word is like that. God says that His Word is able to go to you, kind of lay you out on the operating table, and just start going to work. It's starting to cut you up. It's getting down in there. And it's not just dealing with your skin. It's not just dealing with who you are on the surface. It's not just telling you to go to church and stop cussing. Stop acting like that. It's going to expose your heart going to expose who you are deep down. It's going to uncover the mask and the hypocrisy. It's going to bring out who you are deep down. And I'm old enough, believe me, I'm old enough to know that some of y'all may not be ready for that. Some of y'all may be afraid of that. Some of y'all aren't ready to be operated on by a holy God. Some of y'all aren't ready to be cut up. But I also know that y'all, and I think y'all have seen it too, God is mightily at work here. I mean, mightily at work here. God is doing something big in our community. He really, really is. The time is coming for revival, for awakening in Fairdale, in which many are coming to see Christ. When many people are saying, I want to belong to a good church. I want to follow Christ as a Lord and Savior and King and Master over me. I'm going to be identified with Jesus. And God's doing that in our community. It's starting to happen. This morning we saw yet again another person, young person, 15-year-old, come and say, I want to be saved. And I want to tell y'all this. Albert, who's been here 6 of the last 7 Sundays, met me up here today at 4 o'clock. He wouldn't mind me telling y'all this. That brother, as of 4 o'clock, sat there in the office, praying, tears running down his face, saying, Jesus, be my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. And change my life. That's somebody that's in his mid-20s who's in a relationship saying, I want Christ. And God's at work here. And God's raising up more and more people are saying, I want to be used by you, God, for you. And I promise you, if you start reading the Bible, and you start saying, God, go to work. God, change me. I want to be like you. I don't want to be like me. God, change me. God, purify me. God, work in me. And you'll be committed to say, setting this time aside to read. God will go to work. He'll go to work. He'll cut you up. He'll tear you down. He'll expose you, your thoughts and your intentions and your pride and your selfishness and your laziness and your wastefulness and your meanness. He's going to expose that. And you're going to lay there like, I don't have anywhere else to go or anything else to do. I don't even know what to be. And then the gospel of Jesus being a Savior of sinners is going to turn on like a bright light and you're going to say, wait a second, give me Christ or else I die. Wash away my sins, Jesus, and forgive me. God, remove the faults living. Remove the fakeness in me. I want to follow you. And just as I preached this morning, if that doesn't happen in you, then you're not saved. It doesn't matter when you've walked the aisle or when you've been baptized or when you said that you were saved. So I'm asking all of you, it doesn't matter where you're at, what age you are, start reading the Word. Let's make the Word have an important place in our lives. And be ready. God's going to start working. He's going to start cutting us up. If you're ready for that, I want you to commit to it. Now, I've got a reading plan here for everybody tonight. You might have gotten one last week. Some of you might have already gotten a head start. Every Saturday and Sunday, you get a grace day to catch up, take a break, read something else. Tomorrow starts 12 chapters in Matthew. And Tuesday starts 11 chapters in Matthew. And Wednesday, you finish up the last 5 chapters of Matthew and you start the first 4 of the book of Acts. So it's not that much, but it's going to take commitment. And I'm going to ask y'all on Wednesday night, who's on pace? And I'm going to ask y'all next Sunday night, who's on pace? And I'm going to ask you the next Wednesday night, and then the next Sunday night, and the next Wednesday night, next Sunday night, next Wednesday night, next Sunday night. Next thing you know, it's going to be Super Bowl Sunday, February the 7th. And we're going to be talking about how many of us just read the entire New Testament. And we're going to stand here, okay? February the 7th, Sunday night. What we're going to have is an opportunity for any of you to come up and say what God did through reading the New Testament. Okay? I want to know how many people did it, how many people stuck to the course, and for 4 weeks read their Bible consistently and read the entire New Testament. And then let's see what God did in cutting us open. Now, when you're reading, I want you to be thinking about, what am I reading for? Okay? And that's up for you to figure out. If you're in here and you're not sure if you're saved, then I want you to be reading, God, I want to be saved. God, save me. If you're not sure if you're saved, I want you to be reading, God, save me. If you're in here and you're not a member of a church or our church, I want you to read the whole New Testament with this in mind. God, why do I need to join? Why do I need to be a member of the church? And I want you to read the New Testament to see how important church membership is. Okay? Now, there's a bunch of other reasons. Maybe you just want to be more like Jesus. Maybe you've been in church for quite a while and you've got the whole church thing down. I mean, you're here and you're part of church on a regular basis. But you're not so acquainted with Jesus. That's kind of what I've been thinking about a lot lately. I want to be like Jesus. So maybe you're going to read the New Testament thinking, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus, show me over the next 30 days how I can be more like you. Maybe you're in here and you're like, I just kind of got a filthy mouth. I want to clean that up. Read the New Testament thinking, what does a Christian who loves Jesus that reads the Bible talk like? What do I speak like? And I promise you, if you'll form, okay, here's why I'm doing it, and then you'll do it, that sword that is so sharp, sharp on both sides, active and living, it's going to tear you up. It's going to tear you up for good. It's going to tear you up for good. And once you're torn up and you've been exposed, the gospel, the good news, the healing power of Jesus is going to come to you and put you all back together for the good, for the glory of God, for a changed life. All right? So I want y'all to read this starting tomorrow. And I'm going to do it. And we're going to talk about it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I want us to take a minute to sit in silence in which you will pray in some sort of a commitment and thinking whether you're going to do this or not. And then after a minute, I'm going to pray. But I want you to think about making a commitment to read this. Because I'm confident if we're a church that's reading the Bible, we're a church that's going to be changed. So take this minute right now to pray to yourselves about whether you want to do this or not.